VOA's Joe Ramsey with his worldwide news update. U.S. President Donald Trump said over the weekend he'd like to see regional actors accept more Palestinian refugees. VOA's Arash Arvasadi has more.
Hundreds of displaced Palestinians in Gaza gather for aid. People here say they expect to return to their homes in northern Gaza. But after accusations that Hamas breached a recent ceasefire deal, Israel refused to open crossing points. U.S. President Donald Trump says he'd like to see regional actors take a bigger role in accepting refugees to start over fresh in Gaza.
I'd like Egypt to take people, and I'd like Jordan to take people. I could, you're talking about probably 1.5 million people, and we just clean out that whole thing.
Jordan's foreign minister told journalists his country firmly rejects the proposal. A Hamas official said Trump's words only reinforce Palestinians' fears that they'll be permanently driven from their homes. The tenuous Israel-Hamas ceasefire deal now enters a second week, and the International Rescue Committee says the past 15 months of fighting displaced roughly 90% of Gaza's population. Arash Arvasadi, VOA News.
President Trump says that he's ordering tariffs, visa restrictions, and other retaliatory measures against Colombia after its government rejected two military flights carrying migrants. Trump made the announcement Sunday on his social media platform Truth Social. He said that the decision of Colombian President Gustavo Petro jeopardized national security in the U.S. Petro announced earlier Sunday that his government won't accept flights carrying migrants deported from the U.S. until the Trump administration creates a protocol that treats them with dignity. This is VOA News. The World Health Organization says about 70 people have been killed in a weekend attack on the only functioning hospital in Sudan's besieged city of El Fasher. AP correspondent Donna Warder reports.
Local officials blame the attack on the rebel Rapid Support Forces, which has been experiencing apparent battlefield losses to the Sudanese military and allied forces. In Vatican City, Pope Francis called for an end to the violence, saying the conflict is causing the most severe humanitarian crisis in the world, with dramatic consequences even in South Sudan. And the Pope renewed his appeal to warring parties to end their hostilities and sit at the negotiating table. International attempts to halt the fighting, including mediation and sanctions, so far have failed. I'm Donna Warder.
Rwandan-backed fighters on Sunday closed in on the Democratic Republic of Congo's largest eastern city of Goma, forcing thousands of civilians to flee and grounding flights from the local airport as government forces battled to stop the rebels from seizing the city. Reuters correspondent Freddie Joyner reports.
The rapid advances by the M23 rebel movement have raised fears that the fighting could spill over into a regional war. So far, three UN peacekeepers have been killed, while seven South African soldiers and three from Malawi, serving in a separate Southern African mission, also lost their lives this week, South African and UN authorities said. 3 years into their current insurgency, the rebels, who the United Nations say received backing from neighboring Rwanda, now control more Congolese territory than ever before. Kigali, Rwanda's capital, denies supporting the group. Home to about 1 million people, M23 fighters began moving on the city of Goma earlier this week and have vowed to seize the city. According to a statement by the Office of the UN Humanitarian Coordinator, several hundred thousand people had been forced to flee.
Reuters correspondent Freddie Joyner. South Korea's prosecutors indicted impeached President Yoon Suk-yeol on Sunday. Reuters correspondent Diane To reports.
Yoon's lawyers confirmed that he faces charges of leading an insurrection when he briefly imposed martial law in December. The charges are unprecedented for a South Korean president. If convicted, Yoon could face years in prison. His lawyers criticized the indictment as the worst choice made by prosecutors, while the main opposition party welcomed the decision.
Reuters correspondent Diane To. That wraps up this update, but the world and news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website, voanews.com. I'm Joe Ramsey, VOA News.
Voice of America. I'm James Barton in Washington. Today is Monday, January 27th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. M23 rebels have taken control of the eastern DRC city of Goma.
My memory of President Jimmy Carter is a human being who was very much as an example of what a person must be like, regardless of your title.
The U.S. condemns Rwanda and the M23 rebels for continuing hostilities in eastern DRC, finding an African solution to the DRC conflict. A former Somali army officer predicts victory over Islamic militants before the holy month of Ramadan. Guinea-Bissau pledges support for Kenya's candidate for the chairmanship of the African Union Commission.
Thank you most sincerely for supporting Kenya's candidature of the Africa Union Commission, but also canvassing support for him in Western Africa.
And Trump's border czar says the administration is prioritizing undocumented migrants who are seen as security threats. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley's sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. M23 rebels have taken control of the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, the DRC city of Goma, following intense fighting between government forces and rebels over the weekend. In a statement sent to media organizations Sunday night, the M23 called on DRC army personnel to hand in their weapons and military equipment to the United Nations peacekeeping mission in the DRC, MONUSCO, for safekeeping. Reporter Al-Katanti Sabiti Jaffa in Goma says the rebels also order all DRC military personnel to assemble at a local stadium this morning.
Exactly. I can confirm that Goma has fallen to M22 rebels. 9 p.m. Local time, rebels announced that they won't do anything of that in the city. They call for all soldiers to surrender to the UN, to the MONUSCO. That's what is happening until now. Soldiers surrendering at the MONUSCO base, and then they call also all soldiers after surrendering to the MONUSCO base. They have to go to the Goma Stade de l'Unité. It's a football ground at 3 a.m. So Goma has fallen on M23.
What happens now, Jaffa, to all the thousands of people who live in Goma? What happened to them?
Now it's night. It's 2 a.m. For now, nothing can be said. We will wait till morning, and then we will know. For now, I can confirm that there was not even fighting in the city of Goma, a direct fight in the city of Goma. We saw that authorities left the city very late in the night, and then there was not fighting. I don't know if a word came from Kinshasa to ask officers to leave. I don't know, but for now, one thing I can confirm is that Goma has fallen to M23 rebels.
There were DRC army in the city, and you say that they have surrendered.
Exactly. DRC army in the city are surrendering to MONUSCO, and this is also a call from the M23 spokesperson who said they call all people, soldiers. They called to all FRDC and Wazalendo who have a gun to surrender to UN and then to go early morning at 3 a.m. To Goma, Stade de l'Unité, the football ground of Goma.
Who is going to administer Goma now? The United Nations or would that be M23?
I can say it's M23 because the United Nations, the MONUSCO nation, do nothing for now except receiving the surrender, the FRDC surrender, and the information on my possession. I can confirm that also the white mercenaries called Ajumera, they also surrendered to the UN base even before FRDC, early in this evening.
When we talked earlier, people were fleeing the city. Would they be coming back to the city now that the city has fallen to M23?
I think that's what M23 will do from tomorrow, calling people to return back to their cities. I mean, all IDPs who were in Goma and surrounding will be obliged to go back in their village because they don't have any reason to be IDP, since the reason why they fled from their village, it was occupation of their village by M23.
That was reporter Jafar Al-Katanti, CBT, speaking with us from Goma, the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. The latest player in the fighting in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo between Rwanda-backed M23 rebels and DRC army comes as peace talks between the two countries brokered by Angola is on and off. Elia Masocha is a professor of business and political science at DeVry University in Columbus, Ohio. I asked him just what happened to the idea of African solution for African problems.
The M23 has been there for a couple of years now, and accusations that Rwanda is the one that is sponsoring them. But why now? And, you know, who is strengthening them? And what has been going on before? And where was the African Union, SADC, and the international community when this is happening now? It's not a good thing because we know it's going to damage fragile economies, you know, deter foreign investments and, you know, divert economic resources and many other human rights violations along the way.
But that's why I want to ask you, where is the African Union? Angola had been mediating peace talks between the DRC and Rwanda, but recently those talks have kind of broken down. Where is this African solution for African problems?
Yeah, we may look at it that way, that it's an African problem that must have African solutions. But, you know, the way I see it is that that looks like looking at that problem with one eye, because who is sponsoring these people, right? We all have an interest in any part of Africa, in any part of the world that is having such type of disturbances, because we're living in a global village where there are imports and exports, foreign direct investments, and all sorts of things. So I really honestly don't think this is an African problem that is only going to be solved by, you know, African solutions. Looking at the fact that these African countries that we're looking forward to solving these problems, they are poor countries. They don't have that much resources to solve such type of problems. They may not have created themselves, looking at the fact that African countries don't manufacture those weapons. So those weapons are getting into those conflict zones in some way that African governments have no control of. So I think if we are going to blame the entire world, I think we can come up together with a very lasting solution to these problems that are affecting everybody in the world, looking at the world is a global village now. We have a problem going on in Sudan, and that has been going on for a while. Now we are having another problem that was already there in DRC that is now growing as well in many other parts of the world. So the blame game may not work to produce the best solutions, according to me.
Elio Masocha is a professor of business and political science at DeVry University in Ohio. The United States has condemned Rwanda and the M23 rebel group for continued hostilities in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. The condemnation came Sunday during an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council in its effort to de-escalate violence in the region. Moses Javier Rimana reports.
The Rwanda-backed M23 rebel group has intensified violence in the eastern DRC in a move to capture Goma, the capital of North Kivu. The United Nations Security Council conducted an emergency meeting on Sunday to help end the conflict that has seen thousands of Congolese fleeing the region in less than 48 hours. Dorothy Shea is the interim U.S. ambassador to the United Nations.
We condemn in the strongest terms Rwanda's and M23's hostilities on Goma and attacks on Sake. We urgently call for a ceasefire and an end to this fighting, which has endangered civilians and further displaced tens of thousands more.
13 soldiers, including 9 from the South Africa, have been killed during the armed conflict in the eastern DRC as the DRC Army, regional forces and UN peacekeeping mission pushed back the M23 from capturing the North Kivu capital of Goma. Bintou Keita is the special representative of the UN Secretary General in the DRC. She is calling for urgent action by the Security Council to prevent loss of lives.
So far, MONUSCO has lost 3 peacekeepers trying to protect Sake and Goma from the M23's advance. Roads are blocked and the airport can no longer be used for evacuation or humanitarian efforts. I call on this council to act now to secure the civilian population, humanitarian aid workers, and all United Nations personnel.
During the UN Security Council meeting, the U.S. government, the United Nations, among other participants, condemned the killing of the peacekeepers and accused Rwanda of jamming the GPS that has put the lives of peacekeepers and civilians in danger. However, Rwanda's permanent representative to the United Nations, Ernest Ramucho, accused the peacekeeping mission of providing the support to the FDLR rebels accused by Rwanda of committing the 1994 genocide.
By going beyond its mandate of peacekeeping and protecting civilians, MONUSCO has now joined a broader coalition with a clearly stated goal, which is to enact regime change in Rwanda, which is another UN member state.
The DRC government during the Security Council meeting said that the international community has failed civilians who have been killed and displaced by Rwanda and the M23 rebels. Therese Kayikwamba Wagner, who is the State Minister for Foreign Affairs of the DRC, called for Rwanda to be sanctioned.
And we will always remind the international community of its responsibility, in particular the United Nations Security Council. We will never, ever tire of reminding it of that, reminding it of its responsibility, but also its failure to act when it is the case. And for the past 3 years, the Security Council has failed the Congolese people. It has not acted, it has not held the people accountable who are directly linked to the chain of commands linking the RDF and the M23, chain of commands that lead all the way back to Kigali.
The UN Security Council is calling for the peaceful resolution of the violence through the Angola-led peace process, which Rwanda says has failed to address the root cause of the conflict. The East African Community heads of state are expected to meet in less than 48 hours to discuss on the DRC-Rwanda crisis. Moses Avyarimana for Voice of America.
Break Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Buckley, Washington. Today is Monday, January 27th. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And still to come on our program, Samson O'Malley Sports. Guinea-Bissau has endorsed Kenya's candidate in the upcoming election for the chairmanship of the African Union Commission. During his two-day visit to Kenya, President Umaro Sissoco Embalo reaffirmed his country's support for Raila Odinga. As Maureen Ojiambo reports from Nairobi, the two heads of state committed to deepening diplomatic and trade ties.
In his two-day state visit to Kenya, Guinea-Bissau President Umaro Embalo and Kenya's counterpart William Ruto said the two nations are keen on enhancing trade and investment between the two countries, confirming Guinea-Bissau's support for Kenya's candidate Raila Odinga for the AU chairmanship. President Ruto said Kenya's candidacy is informed by the country's commitment to championing the Pan-African agenda and delivering on the continent's aspirations.
Thank you most sincerely for supporting Kenya's candidature of the Africa Union Commission, as I informed you earlier last year, and to in a very special way recognize your efforts in not only supporting the Honorable Raila Odinga, but also canvassing support for him in Western Africa. We very sincerely thank you, Mr. President, for that friendship and brotherhood that you have demonstrated.
The two heads of state presided over the signing of bilateral agreements between the two countries on trade, infrastructure development, as well as student scholarships for agriculture, health, and tourism programs. Embalo said both nations will establish robust frameworks to solidify their cooperation.
I've come to Nairobi to reaffirm my commitment to strengthen the relations between our two countries' cooperation and peoples as well. President Ruto and I have decided to bring our countries closer together, create an environment and conditions to enable commercial exchanges, exchanges of academics and cultural exchanges, and also mutually beneficial.
At the same time, Ruto says much will be achieved by leveraging the African Continental Free Trade Area and the Multilateral Free Trade Agreement.
The Africa Continental Free Trade Area and other continental infrastructure, including the recently concluded tripartite agreement that has now come into force, that brings together COMESA, East African Community, and SADC, and presents a market of close to 800 million people in our region. Together, we are committed to harnessing the potential that this trade and investment infrastructure provides, both for us as a region, for Kenya as a country, and for Guinea-Bissau as a friendly nation working with us.
The African Union chairmanship elections will take place in February during the African Union summit. The position includes that of the chairperson, the deputy chairperson, and six commissioner posts. Raila Odinga is facing Djibouti's Mahamoud Yusuf in his battle for the leading post. For VOA Africa, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Nairobi, Kenya.
For almost a month, security forces in the semi-autonomous Somali region of Puntland have been advancing deep into the mountainous hideout of Islamic State militants. Brigadier General Ahmed Abdullahi Sheikh is a former commander of special operations for the Somali Army and has been following the military offensive in his home region. He tells reporter Haroon Maruf of VOA Somali Service that he expects victory against the militants before the start of the holy month of Ramadan early next month.
Actually, I'm happy to announce that the biggest achievement has been happening in the past 24 hours. The Puntland forces have captured the strategic location of Tur Masale, which was the main base of ISIS. They're still holding several outposts in the mountains, but this location was very strategic for them. As of yesterday and today, actually, the past 24 hours has been the fiercest fighting for the past 3 weeks.
Where is the fighting taking place?
It's taking place in the northeastern part of Somalia, Puntland, called Al-Miskat Mountains Range.
So I will ask you about ISIS, but have they reached Dadar and the areas where the leadership of the group is believed to be hiding?
That's the next after Tur Masale. I mean, now it's just a stone throw away, and I believe in the next days to come, Puntland forces will capture, and that will be, I would say, militarily, they have suffered a huge defeat then. But it will take, in this tempo, I believe that the Puntland forces can achieve military victory against ISIS by before Ramadan.
You really believe it can happen? How?
I really hope so. Maybe it's, I always believe to be optimistic, but really the speed of the operation and the courage and also the morale of the troops is what gives me the optimism. This operation was planned very well. It was prepared very well. The mobilization was exceptional, and they have huge support from the local communities, which is very important.
And who's fighting for them now, the composition of the militants? Which countries are they from? What draw them from part of the Puntland?
ISIS consists of... So the difference between the terrorist organization in Somalia, ISIS is more attractive for foreigners. They appeal more to foreigners to fighting rather than Al-Shabaab. Al-Shabaab have strong Somali identity. So there's the bulk of ISIS is foreign fighters, actually. You have from everywhere. 31st of December 2024, on the New Year's Eve of last year, ISIS attacked while the Puntland forces was staging to commence the operation. They attacked with suicide bombers. Very surprisingly, I would say, all 12 of the assassins of the perpetrators was foreigners from seven different countries.
Brigadier General Ahmed Abdullahi Sheikh is the former commander of special operations for the Somali Army. He spoke with reporter Haroon Maruf of VOA Somali Service. The President Donald Trump's border czar said Sunday that the administration's current priority is to deport undocumented immigrants who are deemed to pose security threats to the country. But he stressed that illegal immigration in general won't be tolerated. VOA's Veronica Balderas Iglesias reports.
The Trump administration began deporting hundreds of migrants with criminal records last week who are in the United States illegally. Deporting undocumented migrants without criminal records isn't off the table, said Border Czar Tom Homan during an interview Sunday on ABC's This Week show.
Right now it's concentrating public safety threats, national security threats. That's a smaller population. So we're going to do this on priority basis, as President Trump's promised, but as that aperture opens, there'll be more arrests nationwide.
On Tuesday, restrictions were removed for Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Customs and Border Protection agents to carry out immigration enforcement in sensitive places like churches, schools, and hospitals. Homan said such arrests would be carried out on a case-by-case basis.
ICE officers should have discretion to decide if a national security threat or a public safety threat in one of these facilities, then there should be an option for them to make the arrest.
The Trump administration's immigration warnings and approach were criticized by Democratic Senator Elisa Slotkin. She also appeared Sunday on ABC.
I think that's more of a signal to try and keep people from coming to the border, trying to get in, and it's part of this transition that they're not quite into yet between campaigning and governing.
The U.S. military has been tasked by President Donald Trump with aiding border security. U.S. military planes are already being used for deportations, but the military's role should remain in line with the Constitution, Senator Slotkin pointed out.
According to our Constitution, you can go in supporting roles, logistics, driving, setting up facilities, setting up, you know, border locations, whatever. It's very different when you cross the line into law enforcement.
Some 1,500 active duty military troops began arriving at the border with Mexico last week, and their numbers could go up in the coming days. Homan said Sunday the troops' presence sends a, quote, strong signal to the world, our border is closed. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
It's time now for Daybreak Africa. Suppose here is Samson O'Malley in your Abuja, Nigeria.
Good Monday morning to you too, James. We begin the sports with athletics as Uganda's Roger Kibet and Kenya's Sheila Jibet were clear winners at the Cross Cup de Hamut Award Athletics Cross Country Tour Gold Meeting on Sunday. Kibet went one better than his runner-up finish in Hamut in 2022, claiming a dominant victory in the men's race ahead of Burundi's Celestine Indikumana and Kenya's Gideon Orono. Kibet won his season opener in 27 minutes and 3 seconds, 20 seconds ahead of Indikumana, who claimed another runner-up finish after placing second at the Campasio on the 6th of January. Rono was third a further 6 seconds back. In the women's race, Jibet turned the tables on Ethiopia's Yenenish Shinket and Uganda's Charity Chirop, claiming the top spot. Jibet's winning time was 31 minutes 01 seconds, and she was followed by Shinket in 31 minutes 07 seconds and Chirop in 31 minutes 22 seconds. Staying with athletics, Ethiopia's Wokenish Edessa successfully defended her title at the Osaka Women's Marathon Award Athletics Platinum Liber Road Race on Sunday. The course record holder, who ran 2 hours 18 minutes 51 seconds when winning last year, this time clocked 2 hours 21 minutes to take top spot off Japan's Kana Kobayashi and Yuka Suzuki, who both ran big personal best times. And now to Kenya, where Athletics Kenya has affirmed that only athletes registered in the Federation's official database will be eligible to compete in both local and international championships. Athletics Kenya's executive member and director of youth development, Barnabas Korea, emphasized that athletes, coaches and athletes assistants who are not registered in the database will be prohibited from participating in any athletics activity.
This system that we are going to use is going to aid in ensuring that we monitor the athletes, those camps that are training. We know what they are doing. We have everybody's bios, and also it assists in ensuring that the fight against doping is won.
And now to football, where the final draw for the CAF Africa Cup of Nations, AFCON Morocco 2025.
And we thank you, Samson, and have a very good Monday. And that's it for this Monday, January 27th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I'm James Barton in Washington, wishing that you will have a great week.